The Lord be with you.
And your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and when they were over, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." And then he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant, looking from the top of the mountain. And the devil said to him, "I shall give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All this is yours if you worship me." But Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." And then he led him to Jerusalem and made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord. It's the year of Luke, and so we're reading our gospel readings from the book of Luke. And today we have the beginning of a Lenten journey revealed to us and spoken to us in this gospel in the event of the temptations or testing, more accurately, testing of Jesus in the desert. The desert is not a good translation of the Greek. It's a wilderness. The Greek word eremos doesn't mean the Sahara Desert, this forbidding miles and miles of empty desert. It means a wilderness, a place of emptiness, a place of isolation. It's an experience, it's not a place. And what the evangelist wants us to know is that Jesus goes through this experience, and all who follow him will have to go through the wilderness. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, although Mark, the earliest gospel, gives it very, very little attention, but he mentions it. John's gospel, of course, does not mention it, because the Gospel of John emphasizes Jesus' divinity, and therefore he doesn't deal much with the humanity of Jesus. And according to the Johannine Jesus, he could not be submitted to temptations by the devil. So it doesn't appear in John. So following Jesus Christ, it calls us to reflect on our experience of the wilderness, the eremos. There are various passages in life that are identifiable. Young people, high energy, all action, not looking so much to the future, but celebrating the present moment. That's typical of the young life. The elder looks back in reflection. Remember Morris West's View from the Ridge? Morris West, looking back over his life, says, he can see things now in a manner he did not see before. From his elder years, he can interpret the journey of his life. And he does mention the wilderness of his midlife. In his book, he speaks about his divorce and a big struggle with the church about his divorce and raising his children in the church while he was a divorced man. The first communion of his children that he himself couldn't receive the Eucharist according to the canon law where he was at that time. So the elder years are reflective years where upon reflection we can see the eremos, which belongs typically to midlife. Even Brené Brown has one of her books called The Midlife Unraveling. Look back over the midlife, and what leads us into the wilderness is some radical experience. A divorce, some great rejection, some great failure. The temptation is to cover it over, but carry the wound. The wound isn't healed because we do not stand in the place of wilderness. So typically, it's part of a passage in life that belongs to midlife. It can, however, occur at any time that we're led into an experience of the wilderness. It's an emptiness, it's a poverty in spirit. Some great failure, something that pushed us into a place where we experience what they call moral loneliness. That's not loneliness of being alone. That's loneliness in my soul. Even though I'm around people, and even though people say I belong, I have this division inside of me. I have this sense that, who can I trust? Where can I go to speak about my soul? It's a moral loneliness, part of the eremos experience. Keeping in mind that the spiritual life in any serious way begins in darkness. It begins with the eremos. A serious spiritual journey begins that way. And typically, it begins somewhere in midlife. Now, you have Augustine, way back in the 5th century. He goes through his great conversion and change of life from living a wild life to become a disciplined intellectual person and a person of great faith. He was 31 years old when he went through this huge change. St. Ignatius, familiar to us, lived a bohemian life, a wild life. And then in 1521, he was badly injured in the Battle of Pamplona, and they took him back to his castle at Loyola. And during his recovery, he went through this great sense of conversion in his life. He was 30 years old. We'll find the same with Teresa of Avila, the great saints. The spiritual life begins in darkness, in emptiness, in crisis, in a shadow. When things don't go right, I can't control what's happening to me. I'm in isolation. I don't know who to trust in my life. This is the experience of the wilderness. Sometimes it's sickness, some great rejection in life, perhaps. A radical experience that says, what the world can give me does not fulfill the hungers of my soul. And Jesus is 30 years old when he begins this spiritual journey in the Eremos. What does this mean to us now? It means somewhere in life, what we regard as a great reversal is in fact a call to a deeper understanding of the meaning of life. In Dante's Divine Comedy, Dante begins his journey there in the Divine Comedy. He's 33 years old in the year 1300, and he begins by entering a darkened forest. He begins in darkness. He's looking for the meaning of life. Whatever he had, and he had much, somehow didn't feed his soul. And so he enters, the Divine Comedy tells us, a darkened forest. And then he gets and he sees a shining light on the hill. That's what he wants. He wants a shining light on a hill. Something great, something satisfying, something fulfilling. And he reaches for the journey toward the light shining on the hill. But he's blocked by three animals. You might remember this if you're familiar with the comedy. The first one is the leopard, representing all the pleasures of life, the pleasures of the flesh, the satisfactions of life. They block him. He has to somehow renounce these. Second one is a lion, the symbol of power. He has to give up the power. He has so much power in life, control in life, having the last word, getting my way. What will I sacrifice for success? What will I compromise in my life for recognition and success? Who must I hurt in life in order to get ahead? The lion. The third one is a wolf, the symbol of greed. When is enough enough? And do I have to keep getting things that the world can offer? And I said, no, this blocks you from the journey out of the wilderness. He'll have to go through this great... And interestingly, in the comedy, he can't do it by himself. He needs a companion. So he gets Virgil, the Roman poet, to be his companion that will lead him. And his ideal, by the way, is to find Beatrice, the woman he loves beyond all others. That's the energy that drives him, an experience of profound love, fulfilling love, something that completes his life. So where are we in our lives? That's the question that comes from the three temptations, just like Dante. Turn these stones into bread. But man does not live on bread alone. If you want to find the meaning of life, you will not find it in what the world can give you. You won't find it in bread alone. Second thing that's very important here, looking at this gospel, he's alone. So you go through this crisis by yourself. And after 40 days of fasting, not meant to be taken literally, but a length of time fasting, he's vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to the things of the world, and I have to listen to Jesus saying, not on bread alone does man live. And then he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you all of this, a Faustian bargain. I will give you all of this. I remember in high school, we studied something of the history of the Roman Empire. I don't remember much about it, but I remember this. There was a King Cyrus. This was 270 years before Christ. King Cyrus was a Greek king. And his name was Pyrrhus, King Pyrrhus. And he defeated the Romans in two great battles. The last one, the Battle of Asculum, against all odds. And his treasure, his power in his army were elephants. That's why I remember it. I remember the elephants. He had war elephants. We never heard of elephants. He was the first one to use elephants in a war. And he won the war. So one of his generals says, this was a great victory. And Pyrrhus says, if we have another victory like this, we'll be ruined. Because he lost more than he gained. And the Romans had many, many reserves which he did not have. So it came to be called a Pyrrhic victory. That's where you win more, but you lose more than you win. It's a Pyrrhic victory, it's emptiness. That's what happens when we cling to the things of the world and we say, not on bread alone does man live, and all the kingdoms of the world will not satisfy the hungers of my soul. I won't know that until I go through the Eremos. The third one, of course, throw yourself off the temple, and the angel will carry you, the sign of your power. The three great temptations that we must come by in order to get to the shining light on the hill, the meaning of life. So where are you in your life? How does this speak to you? What battle have you won, but you lost? Where have you invested your life, where now you come to wonder, was it worth it? What decisions did you make in your life that looking back you say, they look correct at the time, but now I can see what I did not see before? The whole teaching of the temptations of Christ, the whole teaching of Lent is calling us to rethink and reconsider our priorities in life. What drives us? What fears do we have? What is it that we can't afford to lose? If we lose this, my life will be chaos. What worldly thing are we afraid to share? We don't want to share it. When is enough enough? I remember reading the life of Joseph Heller. You'll remember Joseph Heller. We all read his book 50 years ago, you know, Catch 22, remember that? And he made lots of money, his best-selling book. In his biography, this story is told that on one occasion, he was at a cocktail party put on by a hedge fund manager, very wealthy man. And somebody said to Heller, you know, Heller, for all the money you'll make in your book, that hedge fund guy, he'll make more in one day than you will make in your whole life. And Heller said, yes, but I have something he doesn't have. So what do you have? He said, I have enough. When is enough enough? You will never know when enough is enough until you go through the Eremos. That's a Lenten thought. Amen.